Sunday.
At the Apocalypse Video Store, all summer long, Martin Hofana presents the second-hand Hot Days
Summer Film Fest.
Featuring live performances by the Keanu Mir.
I want room service!
Sandra Bullet Train. With special appearance by
the Swayzosaurus Rex.
Whole seat, only 5 bottle caps, but you'll only need the egg. Get there early to get a coupon for free, unlimited Mountain Dew Life Water. Be there or be dead. And now, entering the Thunderdome, he's dived to unreachable depths. He's sailed around the globe. He drinks his own pee. It's the Mariner. And he's here with that hit film of 1995 that eventually broke even. For those in the first 5 rows, please put on your ponchos, 'cause you're about to get wet by Waterworld!
The future. The polar ice caps have melted, and the Earth lies beneath a watery grave. Those who survived have adapted to a new world.
What did you see out there in the 15 lunars?
Such as?
An end? An end to all this water?
You're asking the wrong person.
Pure dirt.
So what's it worth? We trading or not?
And the human dream is the search for a mythical place called dry land.
It doesn't exist!
How can you be sure?
Because I sailed farther than most have dreamed. I've never seen it.
This place, this whole way of living, it's ending.
Straight line leading directly. Directly to dry land?
Dry land is not just our destination. But it is our destiny!
Universal Pictures presents a world unlike any you have ever seen. Kevin Costner, Dennis Hopper, Gene Triplehorn. Waterworld.
My fellow podcasters, I've had a vision of
Keep going.
I've had a vision of a podcast that is so wet.
It's a great George Bush impersonation.
I did not finish off this anecdote.
It's half Bush, half Clinton, all Deacon.
Just have some cigarettes. Here, cigarettes. Here.
You want a smoke cigarette? Smoke
them up. Never too young to start. This is our Waterworld episode, guys. This is, I never thought that we would, go to Thunderdome and have a podcast on the movie that inspired the stunt show, that has lived on for centuries now, it seems, based off a perceived box office bomb, but we will get more into that when we do this episode.
They're still doing the stunt show over at Nick's place, aren't they?
Oh, we are in Nick's place. We're in Citadel in the Thunder
Dome.
We're
all so close and casual now. Yeah, we just call it Nick's place.
Morton,
you must forgive Mike. He when he's not working in the store, he's often doing his side hustle in the crude oil area in Citadel. He doesn't get much air. It's very dark down there, so he forgets things.
Yeah, when Mike's let out of the store, he behaves like a person, and Dave doesn't like that. Dave doesn't like when Mike starts acting for himself.
He says, "Get back in the dark, dirty, black stuff hole."
I'm your host, Dave. I'm joined again by Jackie.
Nothing's free in Waterworld.
Michael.
Oh, thank God.
And special guest Cody.
I've sailed further than most men have dreamed.
And Waterworld stunt performer and mermaid, Yana. I think that's your name. I forget what
Lincoln.
Name you're using
it's
in this
Lincoln.
Episode.
Lincoln. How dare you?
You talk a lot, Dave.
Well, maybe you should start listening. Why am I still doing the George Bush voice?
Kevin Costner famously talks like this.
He's a famous southerner.
Well, speaking of voices, that's actually a good place to start with Waterworld. The first voice we hear in this movie, I forget his name, but it's the famous movie trailer voice guy.
Yeah, I was thinking that we're hearing movie trailer voice guy.
And, I mean, so good to hear from him because in the 21st century, that, you know, kind of disappeared.
I thought it was the trailer. I was like, is this the trailer?
I know. See, that's what's so weird about it. Like,
it's the future.
It's a perfect voice considering the lines he's delivering, the polar ice caps. But it's weird to hear a voice you associate with movie trailers in the movie. Like, it makes you feel like it's like it feels
you're
like
supposed
a fake
to be outside.
Yeah.
How are you inside the movie?
Yeah, he's not allowed in here.
All right, Dave, now do the movie trailer guy as Kevin Costner.
In the future, the polar ice caps have melted.
Oh, God. I want a dub of this movie where the movie voice guy is doing all of Kevin Costner's lines.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Nothing's free in Waterworld.
When you talk too much.
Is this the before we get like into the movie big time? Like, is this the first viewing for any of you?
It was mine.
First time to Waterworld for me.
Oh, okay. Like, Cody, Jana, have you seen this movie like recently? Or
Dave, I watched it with you like 3 years ago at the most.
Did we?
Yes. Oh, we watched it when we lived together. Maybe for a former podcast. I'm not sure.
I saw it in theaters in the world that was.
Really?
The world that was.
Wow.
Yes.
Was that part of why you were cast for your role in the show?
Oh, yeah. They were like, anybody here see Waterworld in theaters? I was like, yeah. And they were like, all right, you got it.
It was very specific hiring criteria at Citadel. Yeah.
It was a very select group of people who saw it in theaters.
Did anyone here have like the incredible experience of seeing Waterworld on the big screen?
Yeah, it was. I mean, I was like 9 or something.
You couldn't have been 9. This movie came out in 95.
Mermaids age differently than us, Cody.
Yeah, mermaids age differently. I was 9 in
fish years.
In shell.
You were 9 in Ichthys years.
Yes, and I was like, this is the best movie ever.
It seems like I would have felt the same way if I was like 9 years old and saw this in the theater.
Exactly. I think so too. Well, because it's like whatever you could say about Waterworld, it has this reputation as being this big box office bomb. Ultimately, though, it ended up making a profit. It was fairly meager. It was like, I think maybe about 8 to 10 million when all was said and done with rentals and the movie playing in theaters and whatnot. But even at the time, I think at the time it kind of more or less broke even. Like, it was the most expensive movie ever made up until Titanic. But for all the faults you can maybe level towards this movie, I think that the money is absolutely on screen. Like, this looks like an expensive movie.
It's the money is on the screen, not on the page.
Well,
I would say a little bit yes and no to that. Like, it does it's something that, like, when you think about it, oh, they had to build all these sets, and, like, this is all in water, so even if you're doing that in a tank, it's, like, a pain in the ass to, like, actually put all that together, and that probably takes a lot of time and, like, a lot of labor costs. But I do think the movie feels a little, for, like, an epic that this is, maybe it's just because all the sets are kind of similar, but it does feel a little small, I'd say. That was, like, one of my things that I didn't, one of my criticisms, I guess, about it is because everything kind of looks the same, it ends up feeling, it doesn't get the, like, I don't walk away with it feeling like I do from, like, other action romp epics or even something like a Mad Max.
You know, Mike, I wonder if that has to do, because I think even if the set's looking the same, you'd get more of a sense of space and traversal if they did more with the sky, or if there was, like, storms, or if the water looked, like, greener in parts because they're over, like, a more tropical area. But it really does look like the same square of water.
Sure, still are on the water.
Yeah.
I think they're still in, like, the Universal theater. Studio water lot. Yeah.
And now that we've said the MM word once, but obviously this movie is a Mad Max ripoff in many, ways. And it's, you know, I'm going to say it. Cars are cooler than boats.
I think boats could be cool. They're just not as cool in this. Like, I think the Mariner's trimaran or whatever it's called, his boat, I think it actually looks really cool, but everyone else's boat's not cool.
The spinny thing in the center, like, that's cool.
Like, I think they really, like, nailed it with his, and then everybody else, they're like, jet skis with a...
I don't know, jet skis!
With a leaf blower engine on it.
Definitively, maybe cars, boats, jury's out, but definitively... Motorcycles are cooler than jet skis. Yes.
That's 1,000%. Yeah.
So I think I don't like Mad Max at all.
She's a merman. You know, mermaid. It's tough to be so dry.
Yes. Yes. Maybe
dry in those movies.
That's my mermaid. And this movie I could actually stand. So I actually think this movie is better than Mad Max. But that's a mermaid talking again. Yes. And maybe one thing that led it to be not as critically successful as Mad Max might be I think it interjected the humor and didn't take itself as seriously as Mad Max, differently than Mad Max, and maybe even a little bit better. I think Mad Max, one reason I don't like it, besides being a mermaid, is it is so hopeless and it's there's nothing lighthearted about it enough for me to enjoy it outside of the, man, this feels like so freaking hopeless. This movie doesn't feel hopeless.
It does seem like the Mariner in this movie, like, he likes the world. I mean, he's suited to the world, and he just likes being on his boat. Like, yeah. I mean, at the end of the
No spoilers, but, like, there actually is a dry land here.
Yeah.
Like, there's never a wetland in Mad Max.
Well
that's Mad Max Fury Road. Like, literally, there is no green place.
But
the green place is Citadel. The idea is, like, we can turn this into green place because we have the means.
Yeah, but that's not as cool as hopeful as, like, hey, we just found a tropical paradise.
But I think that's actually more hopeful in a weird way, where it's like, oh, we have the means to make the world better where we can. Like, we don't have to go to a place where it's already ready for us. We can just make this spot better here. I think Mad Max Fury Road
feverishly shaking her head right now.
Nobody is as there. The bad guy in Waterworld is not
named
the Deacon.
The Deacon.
No. Oh yeah, Waterworld.
Yeah, Deacon. is not trying to destroy people's world. He's not trying to control the entire world. For lack of a better term, a more lighthearted bad guy than
He doesn't have, like, a harem of sex slaves.
He doesn't have that. Although he does.
No, he has a harem of children.
Yes, he has a lot of young children around him, which I did question. But it's not. He's not bothersome. He doesn't get under your skin.
You know,
Like
Yana, I think you would have been a perfect follower. All you would have needed was some cigarettes thrown at you and some smeet occasionally thrown down to the masses. I completely disagree. I think that while yes, the Deacon does portray himself to be more lighthearted, and I guess he is compared to someone like Immortan Joe.
He is
Fury
a fun
Road,
performance.
Yes, he is doing the same thing that Immortan Joe is doing. Mm-hmm. He is literally again. You could argue this is something that Mad Max ripped off of Waterworld, but you have a character high atop this place throwing like you know peanuts down to the masses and saying like everything's gonna be great and lying and
I think ancient Rome invented that, Dave.
Well, you know what I mean, but
do not become addicted to cigarettes. Oh wait, actually don't become addicted to cigarettes.
Do not become addicted to the nicotine.
He's not keeping his
we have
people
patches
from
too
paradise. Like Immortan Joe is. Immortan Joe is keeping it for himself.
Deacon does keep the guy named Depth Diver in a tank of oil.
That's one person, not his entire crew.
I cannot believe that you are defending the Deacon.
I'm just saying, no, compared to Mad Max Fury Road.
I think I get what you're saying,
yes,
Yana.
Thank you, Mike. Mike, as always, is the voice of reason.
Can we get a quick rim shot for that line that Yana just said? I don't mean to be in the same boat.
Again, can we all take a moment to remember that we're speaking to Lincoln the Mermaid, not Yana, David, and Mike.
Many different mistresses. I can't keep up with all of them.
We're not romantically involved. We're just coworkers.
We're just cool coworkers.
Well, because all the people you go out with sound exactly the same.
I'm not going out, David. You mermaid. Can't track the story. We're just good coworker friends. And if you remember, we don't even like each other. We hate each other.
So anyway. Waterworld.
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 Where should we start with this?
In the future.
So I did, like, not to be Neil deGrasse Tyson, but I was just curious. I'm like, what
no
would
happen? No Neil deGrasse Tyson, but...
Well, I was curious, like, what would happen if all the ice caps had melted? And it looks like it would be, you know, catastrophically bad. I don't want to downplay it, but there would be like lots of land, like most land would still be there.
So you did the math on the back of a Sour Patch Kids package.
You're like, well, actually,
there's if you Google it in the chat, there's a National Geographic image they did of like, here's what it would look like and it's like two thirds of the, I mean, it, you know, it'd be bad news for sure. Like,
but there'd be more dry land.
There would be a lot
like,
of dry land left. Okay. I don't think humans would have to like
well,
convert
to fair,
a water-based
we're only,
civilization.
We, you know, the Mariner says he's sailed farther than anyone
well, we
else.
We see the image. We see the movie trailer guy gives when he's given the
oh,
narration.
That's true.
We see
yeah, the
Earth.
Universal like logo turns into
it
water
turns
world.
Into
and
a
I almost
kind of
wish. In a way, I wish they didn't do that because it would have left a mystery of like. Is there actually lots of land out there? Like, that's something I kind of like about Mad Max is, like, you're not ever sure if, like, the whole world is like this. It's just, like, this is where they are, and they
this
think
is just
it
Australia.
Is. Yeah, maybe it's, like, totally fine other places, but that could have been something interesting for this. Maybe if it did well and they did a Waterworld 2, you could more have more fun with that idea of, like, maybe there's other crazy climate stuff going on in different parts. Like, maybe there's, like, an all-ice place where all the ice like went to one spot or something or
but in the future
in this future it's all water
the
all
world
the time
of water
I don't think we're told specifically how much time has passed. Like some people say like hundreds of years, right? But it seems kind of vague.
Chattopedia says this is 2500.
But yeah. How would they know?
Oh wow, okay.
Yeah, the people in Waterworld wouldn't know. They wouldn't have any concept of time because they can't date it, you know.
That's
yeah.
Also again like I guess Mad Maxy, but also kind of like my first thought was like Dune, where it's like, we're in future times, there's a ruined Earth, and here's a character named Helen. It was like everyone's got we have the Mariner and the Atoll Enforcer and Helen.
Yeah.
We've got names. We've got the vast universe and Paul.
Well, for some reason, Helen was named after Helen of Troy.
What? I saw that note also on the Chattopedia.
Stupid.
And then you well, especially next to like Enola, which I know is like a, you know, a regular name itself, but it's like it sounds backwards.
Yeah, Enola is is alone backwards, which is it's so weak. It was something that occurred to me while watching the movie. I was just like, I wonder if that's why her name is Enola, just because they're like, we found her alone.
Oh my god!
I thought Enola was like a reference to the Enola Gay.
That's what I thought.
I just thought it sounded cool.
Alone backwards is probably what they were going for.
It's Enola and Helen.
Like, well, just name her Alone. In this world, you have somebody named the Mariner and the Deacon, but you can't have somebody named Alone?
Again, it's like, not to keep on jerking off my good friend Mad Max Fury Road, but like...
let's get these hands lubed up. Let's jerk it.
It's good to jerk
I like that
friends.
They've got the goofy ass, like, this one's Toast the Knowing, and here's like, that's stupid. It's fine. That's the future.
Immortan Joe.
It sounds stupid, but it works yes. in the world it's presented in.
I have one kind of really big general thought of Waterworld, and comparing it to Mad Max, right? The thing Waterworld does best is the world building. It's creating these boats, these weird little communities, but the thing that it does, I think, that really takes away from it is that it is such a movie of its time, right? That we have the Exxon Valdez that's called the D's, that they have a portrait of a captain of a ship who apparently was very famous circa 1995, but means nothing, you know, 20-30 years later, makes it really of its time, and I think suffers for that, whereas, you know, Mad Max Fury Road or any other or the other ones, you know, they are so completely a new world that you might see something you recognize and be like, oh, that's interesting, that's what it is, but they don't draw attention to like, hey, do you remember Michael Jordan, the real Jesus Christ, or you know what I mean? Like,
well, I think they were trying to do a Planet of the Apes sort of thing, maybe.
It does make me curious how much, because apparently there is a 3-hour cut of this movie, which is the preferred cut of its director, Kevin Reynolds.
Oh, I'm sure
who,
it is.
If we're digging into the trivia a little
sure
bit, was
three
basically
hours.
Had a
Reynolds
huge
cut.
Disagreement with Kevin Costner over filming this. Kevin Costner wanted to make it shorter to kind of recoup the costs because this was such a large budget movie. And apparently they had a rift. Kevin Costner supposedly ended up taking over directorial and editing duties for a large portion of this movie. There was a lot of egos in play. It's particularly Kevin Costner, because you got to imagine, this is Kevin Costner in the mid-90s. I mean, he's still hot. He's had Dances with Wolves that won a ton of Academy Awards, Field of Dreams, Untouchables. Like, he is... his ego, I got to imagine, is as big as Waterworld itself at this point.
I don't know, like, what... I don't put my cards a little bit on the table, too, because I know we've just kind of started, but I think Kevin Costner is, like, really bad in this and, like, one of the worst parts in the movie.
Yeah,
I know he had a lot of skin in the game, and
he put
his own money
into the movie, too.
I'm trying to, like, what he was going for here, but it feels like Jackie and I were talking about this a little off mic, and it feels like a later career, like, Bruce Willis type performance where he just seems like he doesn't want to be there.
I think the problem is he's trying to play the Mariner as a very stoic loner character, and it is very difficult to make a stoic character have any sort of personality and charm when the overriding personality trait is standoffish, and he leans so much into standoffish that he is a full unlikable prick for over the half the movie, and then it's like, oh, he's turned around, and you're like, not really, this guy sucks still, whereas you compare it to, hey, Mad Max Fury Road, we get a stoic character, but he's stoic and has his own, like, charm, he has his own quirks, he has his own personality,
and he's just like both Mel Gibson and Tom Hardy in those roles are just like kind of, and also Charlize Theron, like all three of them, like if you kind of think of them as like the stoic leads of those movies, they're like nuts. Like they all kind of seem like pretty like crazy characters in a way where it's a little more interesting to watch them be stoic.
They all have goals. They all have like motivations for why they're in the movie. And his character is, he's like, I don't want to be in the movie. His refusal to the call lasts until an hour and a half in, and then he's like, I will save the girl.
Also, Max is another thing to remember about Max. He's like a broken character too. Like, he has his traumatic history, and in Fury Road, he's full on rabid, basically like feral. So there's more to work with there from a character. Whereas Kevin Costner's like, I just like being on my boat.
Yeah, we never really see like his range. Like there's a part in the movie where his boat gets destroyed, and that's like, I would think like that's his moment where he will finally crack or something, you know?
No.
And he literally is like, I don't know if you want to cut the line in there, Mr. Producer Man, but it literally is like,
my boat.
It's so it's such a nothing.
Oh, go ahead, Jackie.
Well, I was gonna say that like there's like one or two flashes, and I guess a little bit in like the climax of it, but I'm thinking of like the scene where he and Enola, he's like teaching her how to swim. And that's like one of the first moments where he shows like a positive human emotion, or like any emotion. And it's a cute little scene, and it feels very like, you know, the actors in the tank, like I'm sure it was like, okay, now just, you know, swim around, we'll just film a bunch of stuff. And so he's like, it feels like a much more genuine, like, smile on his face. Like, he's laughing with the kid. And in that moment, I'm like, okay, yeah, Kevin Costner, the movie star. Okay, yeah. I'm on board. And then it goes into another scene of, like, who cares, whatever.
Well, it's interesting. Supposedly, in the extended cut, there is a lot more with him and Helen, like, their relationship, how it develops. But I'm curious, though, because... We
how
don't
much
really
did
see
they
that.
Cut? Because
well, exactly
99%.
How much they cut? Because it's just like we see him at the. We do get him at the end of the movie, and he's basically the same as before. Mm-hmm. So it makes me wonder how much range would there have been in this extended version. I feel like it's probably just more of the same.
There's nothing. There's nothing very likable about him, and there's also nothing that you can reflect back on yourself in him. There's nothing relatable about him, and even
well,
that
you scene, can because you're a mermaid.
Well, yeah, obviously, but we're party animals. We're not stoic like that.
You're like, hey, that's the only thing is the gills. Yeah, like everything else, yeah. I love having people on my boat. They can draw all over it. Like,
well, and don't so have webbed feet, Dave.
This might be
tails.
A good time to say like so. We're starting to go through the movie a bit. We open on the Mariner, who's Kevin Costner, and he's on his like cool boat, which is a neat boat. And the big thing, it's revealed really early on, is like he is a dirty muto, as they say. And he
wow, you really
mutant. He's got gills.
The way you said that, it sounded really natural coming out of your mouth.
A dirty muto. Yeah. Well, yeah, he does say that all the time, actually.
I love our muto customers.
But the ones who aren't customers, get out.
Yeah, I seem to remember you having some problems with some of Cody's exes, Mike.
So he has gills in his ears and web feet, and I am curious.
I want to know what the lung situation
I'm sorry,
looks like.
Is your name Lincoln or Yana or...
this is my fault. He does this all the time. He says they all look alike to him. It's crazy.
I don't... I'm just curious what you thought of the...
He does not represent our views as a story.
The mermaid representation in this, because I recall, I wasn't present for it, but I heard your thoughts on the Splash Mermaid. Was curious how this compared.
Well, I mean, we have much more than just webbed feet. We have whole tails, so it would have been nice to get a little bit more representation. If this is 2500... You would think that more people would have evolved. Mm-hmm. Wait,
right?
That's
like,
surprising, yeah.
And I was
500 years, yes. plus, you know.
And I was very surprised that they reacted that way to him because it's like, listen, idiots, like this is the guy that's going to survive in a water world. You should want to be more like him. Not think of him as like a dirty muto or whatever. You should be like... Yeah, how do I get gills and webbed feet so that I can survive better?
What does the deacon call him? The icky, because it's short for like some law. Like
it's short for Ichthyosaurus. Ichthyosaurus.
Oh, sure, yeah.
It is weird that they're like totally, although very human, that they would just be like, ah, kill it. It's different.
Gills. mutation!
But again, like, 500 years is a long time to be like, what, a mutant?
Well, you know what it is? Maybe the reason is, and they kind of touch on this in the movie, there's just too much inbreeding going on. They can't, they're not evolving. They're just inbreeding.
Have you guys fallen into that problem yet here in
Apocalypse Video? No, it's a really weirdly blessed place. Most people aren't breeding here. That might be the live wire, though. I think all of us might be sterile.
Jackie, blink twice if you need to be rescued as the only female.
I've adapted the live wire to be a long-term birth control. It works really well.
Nice. And usually when I'm looking around the shop, I see Michael behind. There's like a weird ooze ball in the back. I don't know what's going on there, but
I've gotten,
don't need to know.
I've got the sniff down in Bartertown.
Sniff in Bartertown. They got a great stall.
So the plot of Waterworld.
What really? What do you need to know? It's a water
really
world.
Not much,
people think that a girl has a map on her back to dry land. She does, and then they chase for 3 hours.
The little girl and Helen, who are they live in not Bartertown on the water
in Atoll.
The Atoll, yes. And
is that the first city we see?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
I like that set. Yeah.
I mean,
the bog. Like,
so how does the Mariner get there? Like, so we open on the Mariner. He's like on his cool boat.
He runs into that other drifter who stole his limes.
The little limes. Thief.
And they chat for a sec. The other drifter's like, oh, there's an atoll like 8 miles that way. Uh-oh, there's smokers here. Fuck you. I took your limes. Eat shit.
I love movie-specific slang, so I do love that we're like calling these people smokers.
Because they use their gas-powered jet skis and such and airplanes.
Which is interesting that like only bad guys use engines. I guess maybe because they have the
American-coded bad guys who are obsessed with oil.
It seems like, and I guess this is also explained in the extended cut, but it kind of explains how they are able to take the crude oil and make it into like high-octane gasoline, basically, for their engines. Because that was a question that I had.
Really? I got it. It's like, oh, we have oil and we can make gas. Okay, cool. I don't give a fuck.
Sure.
They have to convert it into gasoline. They can't just put crude oil into jet skis.
They just set it on fire. That's why they're smokers. that was the one thing, not to nitpick, but I'm like, how have you guys not run out of cigarettes all this time?
Hey, it's
you're
it's
still growing a lot of nicotine, I guess.
And also, it's been 2,500 years, so these are 2,500-year-old cigarettes.
No, it's only been 500 years, roughly.
Oh, it's only been 500.
But again, still.
It got me wondering, because like, when you see Atoll and like the world, like it seems like, how did they get these crude materials to build? Because it looks like metal. Like, how did they get this stuff to build?
Well, it seems like a lot of scrap metal things of like things you could consider. Conceivably dive for, although when we get the big Kevin, the big under the sea reveal, it makes it seem like they didn't.
No one's really dove.
Anyway,
yeah, because they don't even know that. Don't they say there's a line like blasphemy? Like you can't say that the world is below us or something.
But,
like that.
Right.
But we do when the Mariner first approaches the atoll. He's there to basically like. Trade. And so I think there is like this, and when we see the other drifters, you know, they've got weird kind of odds and ends things. So there probably is some degree of like
diving.
Like shallow diving or scavenging type stuff.
You know, can we also say, I just remembered this and I don't want to let it go. The opening shot of this movie is Kevin Costner peeing.
Oh yeah, that is how we start.
And
hey,
I
it's
don't
a water
like
world.
And Mad Max Fury Road did steal that.
And it was you don't like when things start with piss. That's you. You had a bad reaction to Succession for that same reason.
You're right, Cody. I feel like George Miller watched this movie. He's like, you know, that's a pretty good idea.
Actually, I love piss.
The part that bothered me was the very slow pan up of his butt. Is he like a stud?
1995 Kevin Costner? Yeah, he was a fucking stud.
Everyone wanted to fuck 1995 Costner.
That was specifically a scene directed by him.
He said, get it right on the tush.
Watch me squeeze my tush. Watch it.
I want you to see the pee.
And yes, I am going to drink it in a sec.
which is like probably arguably one of the things that people most remember from this movie, right?
Of him filtering and drinking his own piss.
Well, I gotta imagine
it's like the only time it's shown again. I don't think you ever see it again.
I guess it's at that point then implied that like, yeah, everyone drinking fresh water does have to be, you know, filtering their own piss.
I think reason it stuck with everybody is that 100% of the people who watch Waterworld did see the first scene. Not 100% of the people of Waterworld finished the movie. You know,
I guess we'll put this on. Oh.
Yeah, they're like, actually, I got other stuff going on.
Maybe I'll work on dinner.
And I think we do see that contraption later in the movie. After they get out of Atoll, you see it like smashed up and destroyed, which would be a huge thing for him because that is his one source other than rain fresh water.
My pee.
that conversion machine. So it's just like that for him. It's because that's a big thing later in the movie, like starvation and needing fresh water to live.
People
in
Waterworld would go nuts for a still suit.
My Brita.
So he like interacts with the like trader whatever, and is the trader like, hey, there's the Atoll there, and then that's when the smokers
and
attack
them. Yeah, when we see some bad guys on jet skis.
Never seen anything like that before.
What were they talking about? How was he going so fast? And it surprised them so much.
Because he had a giant
I think
shit
it was just
sail.
Like the way the he pressed a latch and like the sail like immediately came up or something.
Well, and I do believe that his style of boat, they are like the ships people use to like speed sail. Because sure, it's a really big sail and then they're very little of it is below water. So it just like catches air and just flies.
So he's meant to be like a genius boat constructor man.
It is kind of implied that he has the coolest boat in this
world. He's a mariner.
And to the movie's credit, like they do a good job of making this thing like very cool. And like just every shot of him like doing like.
Okay, you know, I have to disagree because when he's doing his like standing up, he's like pedaling his arms. It looks so silly to me.
It's kind of silly when he's using his feet too.
Yeah, and that part, like when the smokers throw the net, he's like jump on that thing, and they throw all their weight on like one side. Like I just think it seems like a lot of thought was put into
that. That part's cool. I was saying the specific move of like he's standing up and he's like he's doing like a bicycle.
It does
with
look
his
a little
arms.
Bit like he's on a recumbent bicycle.
Yeah. But the other stuff, and I think it is like you know to the. Yeah, as I already put my money behind cars being cooler, but it is a cool boat thing of just all the that kind of physical work of like I gotta rig this and I gotta run and tie this.
Oh
off.
Man, that is like a half hour of this movie is just probably
rigging.
Just people rigging, running around frantically doing boat
and like
stuff.
That is a lot of work, and I don't doubt that.
What if his boat was just like an exercise bike mounted in the center and rigged to the boat, and you just see him like
he's like, I gotta like jump on my little Peloton.
It still has the like the old video feed is coming in, giving him like motivational.
That's if Waterworld was made the exact same way but made today, that's what it would be. In when he rolls up to the Atoll and he throws his gear and there's like a Thighmaster in it, it would have been a Peloton
and
bike.
They're like, whoa.
Yeah.
So he gets to the like Atoll and the big thing is they won't let him in, but then he shows he has the most precious thing in the world, a jar of dirt.
I can't wait to eat that.
Yeah, that dude eats it.
Well, I mean, he gets a mouthful of, you know, like vitamins and iron and minerals. That's probably, it's probably a healthy little snack for that guy.
Pure dirt. 3.2 kilos.
And they do have that tree, which is cool, and their fucked up little bog where they quote unquote recycle bodies. I guess this is the world building stuff where I'm like, that's cool. Where, you know,
I like the bog.
I like the bog. I like that it's both.
We're big
there.
Bog heads here.
We're all big bog heads.
It's good set design, you know, all around. Best thing about the movie is the set design, but the bog, I feel like it smells bad. Like I like that I got from that it stinks.
Yeah, for sure.
Brown, muddy, poopy water
it's,
smells bad.
Yeah, where
why
we put
never?
Our
An
dead
occasional
bodies.
Sloppy bubble coming up.
Sloppy bubble. And you know, a bog burial is a very old you know, thing that, that humans have done. And it's very cool.
Oh, yeah. In Ireland, right? That was
yeah,
that like
in
a
Ireland
thing?
And yeah, other kind of parts around that part of the world. It's cool as hell. Also fucked up that would be their, like, capital punishment system. They're like, we're not going to drown you. No, we're gonna put you in the bog, and then you're going to power our tree. I mean, we are going to drown you in bog, but...
We get some of my favorite post-apocalyptic tropey characters, the crazy religious people, mm-hmm. like the elders, as we see them. And I love how all these people, like, a lot of people just in Waterworld seem to be wearing, like, hollowed out, like, potter plant things, you know, like as hats.
there's something about the costumes in this that did stick out to me pretty hard is, like, none of the outfits seem like they would be good for water.
No.
Like, yeah. They're all like lots of dangly stuff.
You're
lots
telling
of like
me
wool.
This fishnet dress with a leather corset is not a great
No, hold on.
Them to
that,
all just being
that,
like,
that one is good for Waterworld. The rest of it, no way.
Well, there's a moment like when in the beginning of the movie, Kevin Costner has like this bubble thing that he uses to drag down to the ocean floor and collect stuff. And one of the things he collects is a pair of ski boots, and he wears them. And I love it because when he trades them, people are like, "Oh man, I want to get me them ski boots." It's like that is the most. I don't know if anyone here has ever been inside ski boots, but when you walk in them, you're basically walking. With less mobility than RoboCop, you're like ka-clunk, ka-clunk. It is the least.
They're meant to snap into skis and
exactly.
then move ski.
I think this movie, whoever was making it, they had
skis.
Well, you saw them in the film. The movie seemed to be obsessed with skis, which is there are two big planks that you just stand on the water and then you are dragged behind something.
And then you go wee.
And for some reason, you know, they have an airplane, but rather than drop dudes out of the airplane into water, which is totally safe, they're like, what we're gonna do is drag six ropes behind.
Yeah,
and
we're
have
gonna attach half a dozen people.
Here's the problem
skis.
With that logic, Cody. What you're describing is not cool.
No, what I'm describing is in the movie, and that's not cool, actually.
No, what I'm saying is what you're describing, people just simply jumping out of a plane into water, is
with
not
no
cool.
skis.
No,
if you have
a specific
boat,
I disagree.
That just,
I think
that is
cool.
Ramp.
No, but I get it. They needed to make sure that the Waterworld Stunt Spectacular had a lot of stuff
they had
to do.
To build in. It was actually in the contract. They had to work in four different ski stunts.
This is like the weird anomaly. Like most big budget movies, like you have like toy companies saying like, hey, like could you guys like throw in some more characters and some more cool things so we can make toys out of? Whereas Waterworld is like, you got this stunt show at Universal, like throw in more weird crazy shit in the movie that we can make a stunt show out
we
of.
We would love to get more ski stunts in there.
Can you have like a boat that is just specifically a ramp?
Well, and what we're all talking about is that pretty quickly, once he gets into the atoll and he's like, he's locked up, they're going to put him in the bog because they find out he's a dirty muto or whatever. That's when they're just attacked by the smokers. They're all coming like a massive army.
Real quick, sorry to backtrack. I wanted to say, before we get into the real meat of it, one more thing about the costume design, which is one of my big critiques about the movie, no assless chaps, like, whoa, what the fuck are you doing? But all of the costuming of Enola the child, I hated. One, that she starts with that hairstyle, which on a little white girl is not very good, not suited for her hair type.
And also,
she does get it cut off.
And also wouldn't actually be helpful because it exposes so much of her scalp to the sun.
and all of, you know, I get that for plot reasons, it needs to, her back needs to be revealed so that people keep seeing her, like, tattoo. But I'm really not a fan of the child being dressed in, like, midriff bared, like shoulder bared.
It's very weird.
Of, like,
it was awful.
It's not great.
Yeah, because they should have, if they had done, they could have like aged her up maybe.
Or just like, get, you know, come up with a costume that exposes her back that isn't that.
Yeah.
That isn't like a crop top and like slit up skirt. It's just uncomfortable. I don't like it.
There's parts of the movie where they like grab her and either hold her upside down to look at her back, and I'm like, All right. If the back is going down, the front is going down, which is disturbing. And there's also parts of the movie where they, like, literally physically hold her down and pull the back of her shirt up to look at her back. And I'm like,
yeah, it's weird.
Okay.
Because this is also a movie that does explicitly go to the place of, like, oh, by the way, there's pedophiles, and this guy would love to trade for this child. And we're just going to say that. There, so that is an actual thing in
the
movie.
There are
this isn't the theatrical cut. Like this isn't the cut that Kevin Costner's
they
like,
go there.
You know what I mean? This isn't in the extended cut, this thing. This is in the regular theatrical cut.
There are a total of two real female characters and, like a handful of female extras, and the two female characters are both threatened with sexual assault.
So that's cool.
This movie's crazy fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
Which to speak to that, when Kevin Costner is in a toll, that's kind of the thing that gives him away. They're like, hey, we got this young girl here.
Can we have your seed, please? And he's like, no thanks. And they're like, what the fuck? He doesn't want to fuck this girl?
Yeah. Something wrong with him. Like, he's hiding something.
He's 16.
He's got kills.
She also looks pretty young, yeah.
I will say...
also a young-looking
person. Disturbing. As much as it's disturbing, that is, like, a way of approaching it that is a little bit less awful. But because you're like, yeah, I get it. If there's only 30 people... Like... That kind of thing, like, that kind of behavior is common in, like, Amish communities.
You know, it's, you know, I'm not saying, like, oh, well, you know, realistically, all of these women would constantly be, like, being raped. But, like,
yeah,
it's, I understand that there would be the element of sexual violence in the post-apocalypse. Obviously, Mad Max also, you know, leans into this. But, again, just that, like, you know, you can have this threat and this element of the world without, again, you, the people making this movie, like, explicitly dressing your child character in these kind of outfits or even the adult character, Helen, where it's like, yeah, you know, it's some of her costumes are, like, kind of fun, but also, I'm like, can't you just put her in some pants?
Yeah. And cotton? Maybe some
cotton? The lady? Yeah. Anyway.
I know, what are they called? Pirates?
Pirates, yeah.
I know from stories of old that pirates wore...
They love a cotton pant.
Leather. But what, seeing her in that leather corset, particularly the scene where she offers himself to him... That thing comes off in a split second.
Right? Like, she just no drops it. It's like she would be like, undoing a million ties.
So I get it. Anyway. You know, pirates apparently wore leather, but I still don't understand the leather in a water world. I still don't get it.
Well, yeah, pirates also existed in a world where there was land.
True.
And animals.
True. Yeah, a big part of their life was getting off the boat and then going in, you know, to land.
They got off the boats a lot, actually. It's
kind of an unspoken secret.
I guess, you know, the lack of cotton, that they aren't able to grow cotton anymore, and it would disintegrate fairly quickly if it were... Anyway.
If I were them...
The movie had a look, and I respect that, but, you know.
I would imagine they're just wearing, like, loincloths. Like, they're barely wearing anything.
Yeah. Well, we don't wear anything. There's a lot of...
We're all naked right here.
There's a lot of...
As we're recording.
Well, we just got done at the, you know, the stunt spectacular, and we're playing in the water.
Yeah,
you know,
under the water.
It's hot in the Thunderdome.
I'm from a water world. We wear nothing, I can tell you.
Well, this, if you think about it, the scales are your natural clothing, right? Like,
well, that's only on the bottom.
Yeah, right. Anywho.
So this, when the smokers attack the atoll, it is the first, like, this feels like I'm watching the show. And actually, you know, we all talked about, have we watched Waterworld? Who here has watched, like, the real Waterworld, like the live show? And I'll say I have.
Right, I never had the privilege.
I have watched it, yes.
Which was rude of us. We are in the Thunderdome. I could have brought you in to watch the stunt show before we watched the movie that inspired the stunt show. It was probably a little cruel of me to keep you guys.
No, you
in
know,
the box,
we've been up to a lot. I had to take a little power nap. It's okay.
I know none of us know what year it is, but I something interesting I found in the Chattopedia is that when this movie came out, there were four themed shows that were set up at Universal Studios Hollywood, Singapore, Japan, and Beijing.
They really were like, let's get
and as of at least 2022, they were all still running.
Well, it's a great show, and I think they take a lot from this first big action sequence when the smokers attack Atoll. I mean, there's the thing with the plane. Like, one thing with as they incorporate the music, like later on in the movie when you see the Deacon on that on the Exxon Valdez, you hear like that dan 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 dan. You got the music that's like his theme. And the stunt show does a good job of incorporating all the best elements from this movie.
Did it have people on like skis, on water skis?
I
remember it did.
People on water skis. It had jet skis. You got people falling from very high things into the water and stuff. And in the big finale of the stunt show is basically the biplane, a full-size biplane, or seaplane, I should say. There's a giant explosion, and it like shoots out at the audience and lands inside like the tank or whatever. It's very cool. It's real fire. You can feel the heat like from any seat in the auditorium. It's very, very cool. I'm sorry that I deprived you of this experience seeing the stunt show. And I'm also sorry that the last show was today. So you will have to wait till next season to watch the stunt show.
No, it's fine.
It's just weird, Dave. You know, you bring your employees out, but you always like keep them from enjoying themselves. It's the damnedest thing. You like to like.
I'll say, I'm pretty sure the safety record at Universal was fairly decent, but I do know Morten Hoof loses a lot of cast members each performance.
You know, that's true. The only reason I got this gig is because the last guy got blown in half, and I just, you know, I happened to be passing through, so.
They said, hey, you know how to work a jet ski? And you said, I can learn.
But I think this, like I said before, like the money's on screen, and this, I think it, like this first action sequence is really, I think, really well done. You get some really cool effects and stunts. One of my favorite parts is like a guy like, it's again very reminiscent of Mad Max 2. A guy flies off, I think, like his jet ski, and he ends up like bouncing off the cage that Kevin Costner is encased in.
Oh yeah, knocks him into the bog.
Yeah, exactly. Like, there's a lot of cool stuff going on, and you got like this seaplane circling around shooting stuff. You got this guy like in this gigantic mounted machine gun just
Jack Black,
up the place.
Right?
Like,
no, Jack Black's the pilot.
Oh, the pilot. Yeah.
Okay, because I did also see that note that a young Jack Black is one of the smokers, but you're right, it's in a later scene, right?
Jack Black is the guy who's the pilot who's trying to, with his pistol, shoot a grappling hook off of his plane.
You know, you gotta try.
No,
but,
I'll get it. Just give me a second.
No, but for the Atoll attack, I love how many, you know, especially the skis and the jet ski guys, how many people we see just like eat shit and just they're like, yes, we're gonna attack. Oh God.
Yeah, that's it's cool. I like that. Like, I mean, yeah, it's like classic Storm in the Castle scene where
you're like,
you
just
let's see
some
of the people
extras
falling
fucking
off and
die.
Yeah, some of the people are landing it pretty well though, and it's cool. Yeah, and I like how it is kind of like Mad Max. I mean, yeah, again,
it
where you do have the different types of people. Like, okay, you got the gunner, you got the jet skis,
and
it's all fairly easy to follow. And I like that you do cut back to the Deacon, who's like just kind of in the back, like he's Dennis Hopper is having Dennis Hopper is my favorite performance of the movie
for
sure.
In this movie, it looks like
one of my favorite
lines in the movie is from Dennis Hopper early on in the first attack on the Atoll, when he says, "Who's that guy?" And they're talking about the dude operating the several machine guns. He says, "That's Chuck."
Well, what's that cousin's name? Hey, Chuck! He's pulling him right into us! Maybe he doesn't answer to Chuck. Call him Charles! Charles! Stop him! Stop him! Charles!
Adios, cousins.
Charles. Yeah, is this how the scene ends, where they like harpoon the machine gun
and
start to spin him around?
Yeah, towards his own troops.
Because yeah, I guess like in all this chaos, the Mariner, Helen, and Enola all decide like they find Helen and Enola find the Mariner still locked up, like about to die, and they're we'll let you out, but you have to save us.
Their ride out, who was like the wacky professor, the nutty professor, whatever, the gyro captain, who we will see later in the film, but he isn't that just the way he sets it off too early? Helen and Enola are left behind, so she thinks fast and is like. That dirty Muto. He's got that boat. He can get us out of here.
And it was crazy, you know, because Enola's like, he can help us. And then Helen spent a good solid 5 to 10 minutes talking about how they can't trust outsiders, that dirty Mutos aren't to be associated with. It was very aggressive. Wild twist.
Yeah, she started reading from
really
her pamphlet.
But they escape.
I gotta say, the more you guys just use her name Helen, the less like fantastical it sounds. Again, it's just like Helen.
Well, it didn't sound fantastical the very first time
the
name was said.
Fantastical.
But the more you say it, the more it's like, yeah, why couldn't they have come up with a better name?
But I did want to say from that first big set piece and the gunner specifically, Chuck, maybe Charles, who I really liked his design, where the bottom half of his face is all like black from gunpowder, and he's wearing this like you know, goggles and helmet that like makes him look like a pig, and he's just like, he's so like,
that was very Mad
Max. He's got you know, the bloodlust of like, he can't stop shooting, he's like yelling at his like slaves or whatever to keep on getting the ammo, and then of course he like blows up his own team. Does he die or something? Well,
they just spin him, or Kevin Costner harpoons him on there, so they escape, and on their way out they harpoon him and like spin his boat around, and he just loves shooting so much he doesn't care where he's firing.
He can't see where he's shooting because his goggles are like just black with gunpowder, so he's
he can't see, he can't hear, he just fucking loves shooting
guns. And then Dennis Hopper is like, so he's turning around, he's like gonna start shooting at us, isn't he? Charles? And then he just like jumps out of the boat.
And he does lose his eye in the process, so we get
When this happened, I leaned over to look at Cody, because Cody, I know that you liked maimed heroes. What about maimed
he's
villains?
Not a hero, David. Yeah. I don't know if you were paying attention to the movie.
Well, no, but how do you feel about maimed villains?
It's fine. It's.
I think he looks cool as hell. Yeah, when he gets his stupid eye. I love when he's got his eye patch.
But it is. I think I'm kind of with you on this, Cody. I love a maimed hero. I like a maimed villain.
Exactly.
But ideally, the best scenario is what you get in like your Final Fantasy VIII, where they're both maimed in like some fight, and they have like corresponding.
Well, you know what? That's true. Not unlike our good friend Luke Skywalker and Darth Vader.
Exactly. If Kevin Costner had lost like a left eye in this fight, is all I'm saying, it would have bumped it up.
Or if like even like the if Enola like had one eye or something.
Oh yeah. Now you're
cooking.
That
would be cool as hell.
The thing is, you expect a villain to get, you know, some sort of physical loss throughout the course of a film. You don't expect a hero because they just don't do it. So when a hero has to sacrifice a part of themselves to continue, but still trucking, that is a mark of like, that's good. That's a spicy meatball.
Luke and Darth Vader. That's a good example.
That's the S tier.
It makes me wonder. I really got to watch this extended cut because it makes me wonder. Kevin Costner gets.
You're watching it on your own time.
I really got to watch Star Wars.
It makes me wonder if they actually bang in the movie's cut.
Do you think Kevin Costner shows her his tail in the extended cut?
He said, "Actually, I do have a tail. Here he goes. And it's beautiful." And they actually did. Like, on top of that ridiculous budget, they did spend like another like $20,000 just on the tail.
Yeah.
And then they had to cut the whole thing.
I'm just imagining like seeing Kevin Costner's butt and then panning up to his gills. Like,
well, he does have a tail, but it does start just under his butt and his dick and balls.
His dick and balls. It's a real splash situation. He only gets it when he's wet, and so he's like, I can't get into the water.
That does sound like a dirty Muto.
But it just dick balls and then scales.
Which is a very which makes for a very interesting bulge when you see it.
Now I'm on the dirty Muto train.
Actually, mutants are bad.
Put him in the bog.
Actually, they shouldn't have let him out of the bog.
It's just weird because when he's swimming just below water, you don't see a fin, you just see his two butt cheeks.
Oh, God. What were we talking about again?
Waterworld. They did it. They
fucking did it.
They got
it,
away from the attack.
Oh, we're talking about maimed heroes. That's right. I was going to say heroes. One thing. It's like it pops up in the movie for a minute, and then they don't do anything with it. Kevin Costner does get shot at one point, and it's like, oh, is this going to be like a factor? Not at all.
He's like,
I'm going to go save him, and then I don't care
about
this movie.
He kind of clutches his side for like a bit.
I want to say
after that he's like, I got to go do it.
I want to say that is a part of the extended cut, because I feel like I felt like when I saw that, I was like, oh right, this is the scene where he reveals that it's like he doesn't actually have lungs, he has these gills, and so what would have been a fatal wound doesn't hurt him because he doesn't have lungs.
I'd be into that, because again, once you introduce the gills, I'm like, what's the water bladder like situation like?
And he even says like, I'll breathe for you. Like when their ship gets attacked later on in the movie by the smokers and they steal Enola, he grabs like Helen and's like, don't worry, I'll breathe for both of us. And he like kisses her and presumably like breathes air into her lungs. Mm-hmm. So it's like, how does this work?
I think they should have kept in a little bit more nod to whatever his fucked up biology is.
I'm looking, just checking out some stuff in the Chattopedia, and I am seeing that Joss Whedon did last minute script rewrites on this.
Of course he did.
So now I'm just going to blame all the gross stuff on him.
Yeah, if you read a little bit further, I believe he also says that they didn't keep very much of what he wrote.
They're like, we can't keep having all this dick and balls action.
The dick and balls are not working for the movie.
It's weird that you keep having him swim as a mermaid with Enola on his back with his dick and balls out.
we really don't like this. I think we need to cut it. What if we just have like a nice scene of them like swimming and no one's dick or balls are out?
Yeah.
But that's gotta be a weird job, like working, because in trivia it says he worked on the movie for like 7 weeks, and essentially it was just basically just him giving ideas to Kevin Costner and Kevin Costner saying
no.
Nah.
Yeah.
So Kevin Costner being like, Josh, I'm not gonna take any of these points.
So speaking of scenes that we remember that weren't in the movie, I swear, as somebody that saw it in theaters, I am quite old, again, mermaid. I remember a scene where he explains the crayons were like his child's or something. Am I crazy here?
I don't remember that.
I mean, no, that would make sense because, like, again, there's like, oh, we get it. He's a loner. He like, don't touch my ship. Don't touch Wilson. But it's like, yeah, why do you have these children's crayons here?
Well, I don't think he would necessarily read them as children's toys.
Oh, that's true. But like, again, but why do you have them? Where if, you know, it was revealed that he likes
to draw. It's a precious artifact, I think. Like, to have something that can put color onto, a surface.
Okay.
Instead, it plays like he's just like a real fucking selfish prick. Who he's like, don't touch my things.
Don't touch my stuff.
All my things. I can't believe you would touch my stuff. I'm actually just going to throw you overboard, Enola. I don't care.
Is this basically right too? This on his deck. His desk, where a lot of his other stuff does not have that much prominence. So I was sitting there waiting, like, okay, yeah, when does he explain that the crayons were like his child's crayons?
what's a baby crayons. Fish called?
A guppy?
A guppy. It's his little guppy's crayons.
Guppy crayons.
My guppies! Those belong to my guppy. You'll never be my guppy, but you can be my friend.
Mike, you were saying?
Just like this is kind of the part of the movie after this like first set piece, you know, we just kind of get the like set up really for like, okay, so the girl has the map to dry land, and we get lots of scene of Kevin Costner. This is like where it really solidifies like he kind of sucks, like his character is like not likable. He's like, well, how about I just like he's like talking to Helen and is like, well. So we're going to just kill the girl because she's not going to live.
He says it so casually.
And it's not like he's definitely not saying it as like a tough guy threat. Like he is just like, so we're going to kill her. We're going to kill her so we can live and we'll sail for a while. And Helen's like, no, we're not going to kill the girl. He's like, well, all right. I guess we won't kill the girl then. fine.
One of you has to die.
Well, someone's got to die. And yeah, that's the first time she takes her clothes off and is like, "Oh, something else you want?" And he like almost see, goes for it and like
just
touches
see,
a
like,
boob.
A fin start to rise, like.
But then he's like, "Oh wait, I guess I won't rape her because she is like actively afraid of me." Okay, fine. No, whatever.
I almost am like, maybe
we know
he's
a hero.
He's got a cloaca, you know?
Yeah, it's very heroic of him to choose not to rape her in this scene.
Yeah, it is crazy. It is absolutely absurd that is like, we're supposed to be like, "That's right, he's a hero." You're like,
"That's
this guy sucks shit."
Moment of his.
That's my guy.
Love it.
That's what happened.
This terrified woman.
When he stops the pedophilia too, I was like, wait a second, are we supposed to think he's like this super great guy? Because he's like, "No, you can't have 45 minutes with the kid."
He said, I will let you assault this adult woman, but I won't let you assault the child.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess I won't let you assault her either.
We should probably say that this moment is like the least popular moment in the stunt show too. Like, not a lot of people respond to this scene in the stunt show.
This is a popular time to go get popcorn.
Yeah.
When Cody doesn't let somebody assault somebody.
You know, the crowd usually starts booing. They're like, "Yeah, do it." It's a wild crowd at Thunderdome.
Those are the more rowdy Bartertown crowds that come in that start booing this scene. Usually people are just excited that it's over with. But
yeah. some are booing what's happening. Some are booing that any of it is happening to begin with. Anyway, so then the three are unhappily on their boat together. It's revealed that Enola can't swim, even though she lives on Waterworld. You guys really should have taught her how to swim.
Well, this goes into, so how old do you think Enola is? Like 8 or 9?
I was going to say younger, like maybe like 7 or 8.
Because, like, so the suggestion like later in the movie 62. Is, like, she keeps, like, drawing these pictures of things that you could only see if you were on land. And then later in the movie, like, they get to dry land and they go into this hut with, like, the same, and you see, like, this drawing of the same thing on her back. I thought presumably those were her parents.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, right? Because, and Helen has the line, too, where, when the Mariner is like, "There is no dry land, it's a myth," and she's like, "No, like, you said it's real, and I've seen dirt that was so dark, it was in the basket that we found Enola in." So that, to me, was like, her parents in this dying land or whatever, or they were dying, mm-hmm. sent off, like, you know, baby in a basket kind of thing.
Into the ocean.
Yep.
Into the ocean.
Which is kind of weird.
Like, okay.
It's just like Moses.
It's just like Moses.
Yeah. Well,
apparently this was one of the...
If you actually take the letters from Enola, it spells Moses.
One of the, I'm sure, not inspired by cocaine inspirations for this movie by the people involved was cited as the Old Testament.
Oh, right! Well, there you go.
I don't know what that is.
Well, it was a dark time for the world.
It just seemed appropriate.
It's
to
a
laugh.
Bad book.
Where God was angry and women were property.
That does sound like this movie.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
But so Enola can't swim. We get like more heroic moves from the Mariner where he throws a child into the ocean and then cuts off Helen, both of their hair. Both
to punish
Helen
them.
And Enola with his, like, scary knife.
Yeah, I love you got your hero violently assaulting a little girl with a knife.
You know, the hair cutting is also feels kind of biblical, right? Like a punishment for women. Like, you're like,
that's like an old school punishment for women is like, "I'm going to shame you by cutting off your hair." And it usually was a thing of like, you slept with the wrong person or like you're a sex worker.
You were on your period.
Did something like that. Crazy. Because it's meant to mark women as like, they're bad.
You know this?
So that's cool.
As we're talking about it, I think this fish guy, I think he's a dirty muto. I think he's not a nice guy.
I think this guy might be a dirty muto. He's something of an incel too.
Yeah, he really... He's an incel. He's like, "These crayons are for my manifesto."
He's a fish cell.
He's an incel.
He's a fish cell.
Well, at this point in the movie, like, it's funny in a movie so long, there's not a lot of story. Like, it's like you find out she has a map on her back to dry land, and then it's kind of just them sort of floating in the ocean, him just being a prick, and then eventually
and everyone else, and then the antagonists are searching for them so they can get the girl and get the map.
Yeah, it's there's not a lot of story here.
But
it's
even,
what's the next set piece after this?
It's
Black in the smoker plane?
No, that's like the end.
No, that's midpoint.
Yeah, Jack Black and the smoker plane happens midpoint.
Mm. Yeah, they're the ones who spots them.
Oh, this is, they find like the buoy where, I like this part. They find like a buoy where they think it's like traitors. And it turns out it's all like dead bodies that they're like marionetting
to
wave, which is, pretty cool.
I love one of my favorite parts of this movie because it's so goofy. He has like an underwater periscope like in his thing, and he rotates it around, and you see these smokers underwater jet skis.
They're all in jet skis waiting. It looks like a video game, like before
when you get to the area like that you haven't triggered yet.
Right, and it's like all the NPCs are just like waiting.
It wasn't just on jet skis. They had the full boats there too. They had
a bunch of like underwater setups. They had a couple of these in the atoll scene earlier of like shooting dudes out of the water, which is cool.
You gotta hand it to the smokers. Like they come off as like bumpkins or whatever, but they're pretty resourceful.
True. They're very American that way.
Just real quick, I wanted to say the moment where he has her riding on his back, Helen goes to sleep and he's a shithead and he hates them. She wakes up and she's riding on his back and they're laughing and having fun. And I'm like, we might like him a little bit more if we had gotten to see the build up to him letting her ride on his back.
Right? It's like, oh, that girl that you were just willing to let drown, I guess you had a change of heart off screen.
Or if like maybe the movie had opened with something really bad happening to him, so there's like some explanation for why he's so.
I mean, we did see him get his lime stolen.
do you think before the limes he was like the nicest, funniest
nothing
guy
bad
in the
ever
world.
Happened yeah. to him before the
he,
limes.
He lost his limes and he really lost his marbles.
I mean, I guess he was called a dirty muto and they put him in a cage.
Yeah, he probably is existing in a world of systemic mutation racism, but.
And
still.
Also, it's a water world, and
still, he
all
kind
sucks.
Of is a dirty muto.
But he, just saying, kind of.
For people who were just saved from being murdered, and they did save his life. There was mutual life saving. For mutual life savings, they're not very nice and appreciative to each other. They're kind of brats to him.
The thing is,
he's a jackass to them.
And the heart of the movie is hurt people hurt people.
Yes,
Yes,
that's what it's all about.
I mean, from here, really, the next big set piece, and really the kind of cool thing about the
let's not say cool, Dave. That's
Exxon
a bit strong Valdez. Of a word.
Well, I for one thing, I think as far as a setting for a villain lair, a gigantic oil tanker is pretty cool, visually. Like,
what's it called?
The Exxon Valdez.
I believe it was called the D's.
D's nuts.
Oh. I was okay because every time they called it the D's, I was waiting for someone or something. Like D's nuts.
You needed the world to yell out nuts.
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills. It's D's nuts.
I think one of my, it's not necessarily cool, but I think it's funny. One of the craziest things about this movie, and I feel like I forget about it every time I watch this, which isn't too often, is you find out, you see the Exxon Valdez, it looks like it's like encrusted, like it can't move when you see it initially. You're like, oh, that thing
there's
can't
a lot
move.
Of like barnacle or like rock or
shit.
Something.
I think it's
also
shit.
Was like, there's a lot of shit in there.
You find out later. Shit. Because when he pulls up, when Kevin Costner, after Enola gets kidnapped, he gets on a jet ski and he goes to rescue her. And when he pulls up to the Exxon Valdez or the D's Nuts, you see all these like slits in the side of the boat. You're like, what's that all about? You find out
They're oar slits.
And I'm just like, okay, this is the most ridiculous thing in the movie, that all these people have these gigantic oars and somehow that'll move this oil tanker, which is the most ludicrous thing ever.
But I worked for the Vikings.
But seeing that image of like the gigantic oil tanker with these like oars coming out of the side, I can't help but kind of like it.
Everything about the D's is so over the top, but really effective for me. Like the fact that inside this, you know, stronghold of theirs, they have a shitty smoking car that the Deacon rides around with a bumper sticker that says "Nuke the Whales."
I real quick just want to note the weight of the Exxon Valdez ship was basically 215,000 tons.
So really easy to move with, you know, like.
Well, you gotta account for buoyancy in water. So here, Mike, here's the Sour Patch Kids package. Here's a pencil made out of feces. And go ahead and do the math on that.
How many pounds are in a ton? Is it 200? 2,000?
Okay. And that's not even counting with the oil inside, right?
And the oil.
So the weight in pounds of the Exxon Valdez would be 43 million pounds.
Those are some heavy nuts.
Wait, excuse me, I'm wrong. It's 430 million pounds.
Oh, well, then that's okay.
So
what do you want from us,
these
Mike?
Are strong. These are strong boys.
Yeah, it's because they smoke so many cigarettes. Yeah. It builds strong muscles.
And they eat their
meat.
And they
eat
all their spam and cigarettes.
I'm sorry, what proprietary not meat did you say? This is smeat.
They're eating their smeat on D's nuts.
On D's nuts, and they're smoking their cigs. Everyone. They show during like the Deacon's big speech at the end where he holds up like a bottle of Jameson. So they've got, you know.
It's Jack Daniels.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
It wasn't classy whiskey.
Holds up a bottle.
I gotta admit, like, I like the visual and like the lair is cool of the Exxon Valdez or D's nuts, but I don't think it really holds a candle to the first action sequence in the movie at
the
toll. Like,
well, because it's just, the action sequence is Enola yelling at Nord saying he's gonna get you. He's not afraid of anything.
Well,
and he has friends and he'll save him. He's fucking Batman.
Well,
there's an
like,
explosion how? While the Mariner like ziplines down behind
but
that's the explosion.
It.
Yeah.
Does
that's
get
pretty
to
cool.
Zipline.
Where
that's
does
like the
her
one
blind
thing...
faith in him like that come from? That's got me too.
That guy showed me how to swim one time.
That guy's my fish dad.
He's kind of nice.
I mean, they had to rescue him.
We'll throw you off his boat
if
you steal his crayons.
They had to rescue him for her to be like, yeah, he's larger than life. It's like, you were rescuing him in the beginning.
Yeah, you didn't like him like 2 days ago.
Yeah. He cut off all of your hair.
Remember when he cut
with a
your
scary
hair
knife.
Off?
But I will say
he has no name.
So I really one thing that I really, really think that I like about the Deacon versus his name Imogene Imogene Hupp.
Imogene Poots. Morton Joe.
Imogene Poots Hupp.
Is that he's not. There's no cruelty to him. Like I kept expecting him to. I thought he was gonna.
Remember when he shot all of his prisoners? That
he shoot a lot of people.
He's like first one to talk lives, and then he shoots both of them.
Okay, but that's. That's not his.
He's cartoony. Morton Joe isn't cartoony.
And I kept expecting him to, like, when they were making fun of his eye, I was like, okay, these people are dying. No, he didn't kill any of them.
Okay, now don't move. Okay. There. Oh, looking real good. Yeah. There. There. All done. Now, there may be some small problem in depth perception.
Well, I better not screw up my short game.
Well,
looks good.
Yeah, I like
it.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I like it better than you realize.
Much better.
What do you say, Toby? The truth.
Looks like shit.
That's why I love children, no guile. It does look like shit. And it feels like cold shit.
When he was up there giving his grand
speech. He's just riffing about the eye.
Yeah, when he was up there giving his grand speech, I was like, oh my God, is he going to like pour all this alcohol all over them like a disgusting pig.
No, so that, hold on. That sounds like it would be a cool thing.
And
to
then
do.
I was like, okay, he's that's breaking the. Is he gonna like throw the bottle at them or something? But he's just like a. He's a silly, funny like.
He's in a different movie.
Yeah, he's in Surf Ninjas. That's the movie that he's in.
That's film.
I think we could all probably agree Dennis Hopper is the most enjoyable part of the movie, right?
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. I like
and the boat. I still like the boat a lot.
I like the Russian
the boat and Dennis too. Hopper give the best performances.
Yeah, Gregor's good.
More sea monster.
Yes. How that's crazy right. was that?
Yeah, we only get that one like. Maybe that also is in the director's cut or whatever. But yeah, we only get like one glimpse of a sea monster and like half a second of like some shark fins. I want to know more about like the marine dangers and the marine mutants.
Let me tell you, Jackie, if you want to know more about the Leviathan creature, there is a sequel comic series called Waterworld: Children of Leviathan that suggests that perhaps. The Mariner himself is not a natural thing entity. He is the result of genetic modification, similar to the sea monster that we see in the movie.
The sea monster is genetically modifying people.
No,
yeah, the sea monsters have a lab set up.
It's called Sea Lab.
It's called Water Lab. I might check that out. I love a Leviathan. That shit's so creepy.
I'll say, if we're talking about the Waterworld Expanded Universe, there's a video game that came out for the Sega Genesis that I did play a bit before we recorded today. I will say, it might be the worst video game I've ever played in my life.
Some bad ones out there.
It's basically like, you're the boat. You're his boat.
No, hold on, I like
cool.
this. Tell me more.
Wait, are you the D's nuts, like, or are you his boat?
You're his boat, which is cool, but it's like top down. You're controlling the boat in like the most bizarre, convoluted way. And the screen is like really zoomed in. So it's like a third of the screen is the boat. And you're just like moving around to like shoot other boats. It's not good. But I don't know. Maybe there is some lore in there that I missed. I didn't finish it.
Let me ask you this, Mike. As a big gamer.
As something of a gamer.
Do you think the Waterworld game would have been improved if your controller had some sort of crank apparatus?
Absolutely.
Well, because then you could really control the trimaran like you're meant to, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah, that would be a much better video game.
I imagine it having some sort of gyro thing inside, so as you're cranking, you can go to the left and to the right to sail your ship. Something of this sort.
Yeah, you should have to work for it.
You got to run to one side of the room and lean so that your boat moves. You know. Anywho, yeah, this I feel like the ending is a bit lackluster. You just, as you said, Lincoln. You just hear her like with her intense voiceover, like he's mean. He'll kill kids. He doesn't care about killing kids and this and that. And
he's a hero. He kills kids.
I mean, the setup part is cool. Like how he just he opens up this lid and tosses like a flare into the oil and everything blows up. Like that is cool for the setup of an action scene. But all that results of that is just him getting on a zip line and just throwing a hook at the plane and that's it.
That's one of my favorite scenes is when he's like, you're not crazy, and then he drops it. I was like, oh fuck yeah, like he literally
this guy is fucking crazy.
He wrote that check. Is that the saying? Sign the check.
I really found that check.
I really like that. Even as a performer in the show, you're not jaded. You're still excited by the stunt performances and the setup of the show.
I mean, it's great to hear about someone who loves their work like that. Yeah. I was going to say the zip line. We get the zip line, which is pretty cool. And there is, I think, one last stunt that did stick with me where Enola and the Mariner are rescued by the... the hydro cycle,
the balloon captain,
the balloon guy from earlier, who I guess picked up Helen along the way. And they,
they remember that Gregor and the survivors of the atoll save the Mariner and Helen from his boat. And then later he's like, I gotta save her. And he takes off on the jet ski. And 3 minutes later they say, he's not gonna go alone. And then they leave, but they don't get there in time. He gets to kill Horse and everybody.
You're right. I forgot about that scene. But so they come through at the end, rescue the two into the balloon, but the Deacon and a few of his guys are still going, so they like shoot and Enola falls out. Mariner jumps into the water to save them. They get a rope down to he bungee jumps. Save Enola, and then right as he like scoops her out of the water, all four of the jet skis smokers jam together and explode while they are bungeeing back into the balloon. It looks kind of like dog shit, but it is really fun.
That's actually the best part of the stunt show. Damn, I can't believe you didn't take them to it. Is when Cody bungees out of the giant balloon and rescues me.
And the live stunt, I'm sure, looks much better.
Yeah, there's some pretty unconvincing like green screen work at this moment. It's pretty bad. Like any moment you see them like in the balloon thing, whatever. Like the background is just so fake looking. It's like, ugh.
They're like, we only have a couple minutes left. We can just
green screen.
Let's keep it going. And then they find the dry land.
And then he's just like, this place is weird. I believe it.
Or also they realize they're like, we were looking at the map upside down on Enola. And they like flip her around. They're like, it's this way.
Well, that was so weird when they go to dry land. Like that whole like, I don't understand why he, like, it just feels really weird that he's like, all right, I'm going to leave. Like,
no, it's,
you could like stay there sometimes and come back.
It's,
like,
it's because it's too loud. It's too loud for him. That's the thing they're getting across, is that he hears too much. And so he's like, no, I got to be on the ocean. But he can come back. A quick little nitpick here. Okay. They're like, oh, the map's upside down. And he can't read it. He's like, oh, these are numbers. If they want to get across that they don't know how to, no one knows how to read. They don't know numbers. It's not like anywhere else we see them have, Arabic numbers written on the wall. And they're like, yeah, we know 79 plus 6. That's it, 85. They could have had her back, had numbers on it. It didn't need to have, like, foreign characters on it. It was just like a weird little extra, a little extra. Yeah. Anyways.
Also, the Marshall guy has survived this entire time, and he hasn't really done anything at all. And I literally had the thought at the end of like, wait, so is he just meant to help repopulate with the
he's going to be adding his seat.
Well, it makes me, I guess, was the objective of the two people that sent Enola out initially, I guess, just to find someone to take care of her? Was that kind of it?
Yeah, of just like, we're going to
die. Eventually come back, though, because that's why they put the map on her back.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess we don't know, since we only see, the two skeletons on dry land. We don't know if, like, they also had this tattoo, or this was, like, a significant, like, cultural thing or something like that. It works as a map, but we don't know necessarily, like, what any of their lives were like on dry land.
Based off what they say in the movie, it doesn't work as a map. It's a picture with longitude and latitude listed on it. So they must have an accurate map of Waterworld with longitude and latitude elsewhere that they can compare it to. But if they don't have any markers because there is only water, how can they have any idea of where they are? I guess the sky. They still have stars. The constellations are still there. I retract my statement.
How did they have a tattoo gun on the top?
You don't need a tattoo gun to tattoo.
What do you need?
You could just use real sharp bamboo. And
you need ink.
Yeah.
Where'd they get the ink?
You can
black
make
ink is like
ink
made
from,
of like charcoal.
from organic materials.
I'm a mermaid. I didn't know this.
Well, and it's tough to tattoo.
It's hard
through
to
the
do
scales.
Underwater. Yeah. Yeah. but yeah.
I just wanted to point this out before we wrap things up. I think Hopper's finest moment in the movie, he actually has two of them. And this line that I'm about to say is probably something that my dad would say all the time and always laugh at it. The famous, you're like a turd that won't flush.
Your dad would tell you that you were like a turd that won't flush?
He wouldn't say that to me. He would
I think he would. Yeah, no, he's talking about you. That makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense for Dave as a person.
So is this like a family going on
here? Turd that won't flush.
Well, I'll be damned. It's the gentleman Guppy. You know, he's like a turd that won't flush.
And I think Hopper's second or other best moment in the movie, it's at the end of the movie, when all three smokers are converging as right before Kevin Costner does the bungee jump moment. I don't know if you noticed this, but as Dennis Hopper is on the jet ski going toward to get Enola, he has like this whip and he's like whipping the back of his jet ski as if it's a horse.
Yeah, like, get up.
That's pretty good.
I thought that was genius.
I saw Dennis Hopper has like did speak fondly of this movie after even after
he was
after
the only one having fun. It looked like
exactly. Yeah, he never had to say my boat.
No, he was just saying D's nuts.
Yeah, he
said D's nuts. And they said, Dennis, can we do one like a little bigger than that? He's like, hell yeah, we can.
They just have D's to do 100 takes because he always he's like, I'm sorry, I just can't not follow it up with nuts.
You know why, right? You know what I'm doing.
Welcome to the D's nuts.
No, Dennis. sorry, you did it again. Oh, okay, let me try again. Okay,
so we're on
D's nuts. No, you did it again.
Can't we just edit? Can we just cut it?
That's right. Actually why the budget went so high.
That was the only reason. Dennis Hopper just was too committed to the bit.
Well, does anyone have any closing thoughts on Waterworld?
Sure.
That's another famous line that he has when they're like, we're going to save you. And he just goes, sure.
Sure.
Yeah. Sure.
If I let you out of here, you're taking us with you.
Sure.
I'm glad I saw it. I'm glad I checked it off the list of, like, because you hear so much about this movie. So it feels like it was important for me to see. So I'm, despite, you know, what it was, I'm glad we saw it.
My final note for Waterworld is, of course, that it is co-written by David Toohey, the director and writer of the Riddick series. So that's
yes,
fun.
A true artist,
a true auteur.
I did want to mention the director of photography for this. The DP was the same DP from Mad Max 2.
Okay, so they were ripping it off, and we are also poaching from your team.
Yeah, it's interesting. I didn't really see too many connections to Mad Max to this, but I guess maybe there was something there that
I gotta imagine. What if this was like we discussed this on a way earlier podcast, but if you guys remember, the James Cameron's pitch for Aliens was he wrote Alien on a whiteboard and then added an S and then put adult, then turn the S into a dollar sign. I gotta imagine if it's a similar thing here.
It was
Kevin
a
Costner,
much less smooth version of that.
Yeah, well, he's like, all right, Mad Max
slash
dollar sign
water,
cross out water.
No, you're making it too complicated. He did an M and an M and turned it upside down.
Oh,
that's
the
$100 million.
They said
that's
do
the
it,
perspective
do it, do
only
it.
A mermaid, only someone who lives underwater through the reflection, you know, the reversal of water sight. You can crack that code.
It's like he reverses it. They're like, what? And then he just like draws a little wave underneath. They're like, oh,
we get it. Understand you a little bit better now, Dave, after having seen this, because it seems like it really struck a chord with you and your family. So,
well, he just thought that was a funny line, is all.
Dave's just a turd that won't flush.
And you said you watch this movie all the time and you love it.
No, I've seen this a few times. Like, I think this was one of those movies where, when it was on TV, it was too long, so it was like a commitment if I wanted to sit down and watch it on TV. So, as you said, like I would watch maybe the first action scene and then turn to something else. Pretty much.
You wanted to miss the trauma of the line that your dad used on you all the time.
But honestly, this is kind of a It's tough to say because, like, yeah, a lot of this movie is kind of meandering, just them on the boat and he's being a prick. Like, I think some of it is fun. I don't know if the first action sequence is enough to recommend it. I guess I probably wouldn't, but I will say that this is absolutely not the worst movie ever made. I don't think it's deserving
it's
of
it. It's better than Cutthroat Island.
Watch, Dave.
A lot better than Cutthroat Island.
I don't think it's deserving of its reputation. And I'm wondering if that's sort of like, you know, reversed a little bit in the years since. But it's not the worst movie ever.
Well, I'll tell you, in my research, there are a lot of people that like it.
It's true. Yeah. Well, and on the note of, you know, the whole thing about it being a bomb, but kind of not, but kind of, yeah, of this line from the Chattopedia where factoring in home video sales and TV broadcast rights, among other revenue streams, Waterworld eventually became profitable.
The problem is, so like, if you're the bean counter over at Hollywood and you, like, your job is to make all the money. And, like, if you think about, like, from the beginning, this movie, it was greenlit for $100 million. So you've, like, wrote enough $100 million. And then it, like, ballooned to $175. So now you've, like, doubled what you were meant to put in. And it just barely made a little bit more than you invested in it. That's kind of like a waste. Like, you could have just put that money into like a savings account or something, or like the stock market, and made a lot more money. So I think, like,
well, yeah,
you would still see it as...
I sure would have loved to take that $175 million and put it in my savings.
Betting it all on Smeet.
Mike, well, that's why I would think it would still be seen as like a failure, because you want to get more money than that.
Hold on, Mike. What's that in your hand? Finances.
I don't know. What
is
it?
Why are you so obsessed with numbers? What's going on? Did you find a book?
Oh my God! It's a algebra. Algebra?
You know, Mike, if we're saying like which characters we'd be in the movie, I think Mike would be like the bookkeeper guy on board the D's Nuts.
I would silly like glasses. That seems like a good job.
I think Mike's scrambling for assistant manager.
Oh, he's like, I can cook the books, Dave. I can do it.
Ryan is definitely the oil guy.
Oh, thank God.
His head's too big.
Well, that's why he couldn't join us today, is he's down in the black stuff.
Well,
I'd
Lincoln,
be the old woman
about...
they put in the bog, by the way.
Lincoln, what about you? Would you, as a mermaid and a ardent supporter of the Waterworld stunt show at Thunderdome, would you recommend Waterworld the movie?
Just see the stunt show. You don't have to see the movie to understand what we do every day up there on that stage.
And remember to tip your servers.
Absolutely.
You know, on I didn't think about
servers
this, but
this
on the Chad Tube, is there just like a recording of this? There's got
to
be,
there has
right?
To be. The yeah.
Sure.
There has to be.
Well, and that said, like, yeah, look up this, you know, cool live show stunts, or just look up the cool stunts from the movie. Find a good compilation. You don't need to watch the
but
full
I mean,
2 hours,
you know,
and or the director's 3 hours.
Yeah, I mean, the stunt show is like, I think, if I don't remember, it's like maybe a 20-minute distillation of the cool action scenes.
Perfect.
In this movie, which is the correct version of this movie to watch, basically. But there is something to be said. You can watch it on a Paco Tube, I'm sure, but obviously, if you can make it to Thunderdome...
You renamed... Chad Tube?
Well, no, they're different
tubes,
services.
Yeah, the small, small fry, and then Pocket Tube's the big one.
Cool, okay. It's crazy that The Wasteland has two video streaming platforms. It's more than I would have expected, to be honest.
Well, no, Paco Tube is the premium version.
Okay.
But still,
there you go. No ads.
Yeah.
But there is something to be said for actually, and as being someone who has actually seen the stunt show, there is something to be said for seeing it in person if you can. You feel the heat of the fire as it comes out. And it is really, honestly, like, it is one of, like, the coolest things I've ever seen. And there's a reason that stunt show has survived for as long as it has. Yeah. It is really well done.
I bet people don't even know it's based off a movie now.
Probably not. Yeah. They're probably just like, oh, I didn't know they made a movie off the stunt show.
Or they'd be like, oh, yeah, Waterworld. Is that like that old theme park or something? I don't know. This looks cool. Let's spend 20 minutes doing this.
Well, what about you, Jackie? Would you recommend Waterworld?
No, I would not. I think, like we said, you can find some good clips of everything you need to see. I'm sure you can find a Deacon supercut, you know, stunts supercut, et cetera,
but
Bogs for life. That's all I have to say.
Bogs for life.
Water's pretty cool and all, but the bog is where it's at.
Bog World. Now that's a movie.
Now there is a project.
The entire world is a bog.
It's a bog. Don't step in it. Oh my God.
Jackie's whole hog for the bog.
Yeah, baby!
Well, that'll do it for this latest installment of Hot Dave's Summer Film Fest. I'm really glad that this didn't turn out to be another Cutthroat Island. It seems like we all...
It was not.
And this is where you lose me. Cutthroat Island is an underwater classic.
You wait, hold on. You couldn't say pirates, but you've seen Cutthroat Islands?
Well, only in its, it about only pirates? In its original fish language. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's a great movie. Mm-hmm. How dare you compare it to this?
He's saying it's not.
I have to just give a disclaimer for the listeners. Watch Cutthroat Island at your own risk.
Watch Cutthroat Island, don't watch Waterworld.
Watch Waterworld at your own risk. Jesus.
Bad dog.
My boat.
That was just for Lincoln. And we're going to end the episode on that obscure reference to Cutthroat Island.
This turd won't flush.
Well, excuse me! Did I say anybody could leave before the battle was over, did I?
No!
No!
Well, do something! I hate sails!
Adios, cousins.
My boat.